There we go. Wow, they changed their interface. Sorry about all the beeps and tones to get that cooking. The web interface changed. So welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. This is The Truth About Sales. This is week number 5. And this is your illustrious host, Joel Rico. Thank you for being here. And I think some fun stuff today. So just a quick reminder that this curriculum is broken into sections, and if at any point it feels like a lot of fun or a lot of work or something that's not working for you, remember, we're just in that section. So the first couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, the sections were about inquiry. We were looking into, do we have any bias? That was the self-evaluation interview to see if we can find whatever biases that we have. And then we did inquiry about the client, like determining their core values, determining their decision-making criteria, right? We were doing some inquiry work. And then we shifted into a little bit of language pattern. So we started with level shift. We're doing that sort of, we're looking at linguistics. And we're going to do this linguistics part for another week or two. Then we're going to jump into doing structure. We're going to do a little language structure. Then we're going to do some objection handling. And the course is designed to move and flow in this realm. So the plan is that you absorb this material just like learning your native language. So that's really the plan. That's what we're up to. So any thoughts, any questions, any ahas, any breakthroughs with whatever, right? Last week we did pacing statements and then tie downs, and then at the end of the call we did pace tie downs, right? You want a lot of money for this house, don't you? You want this to be a smooth transaction, right? The sooner we start, the sooner you cash out. Isn't that what you asked for, right? Just some speak some paces, speak some truths, and then tie them down. That's a brilliant way to get lots and lots of agreement. So any thoughts, any questions, any ahas, any anythings? About
I got one, Joel.
Last week. Yes.
Who's that? Jonathan from Florida. How are you?
Hey, Jonathan. I'm doing awesome, man. How are you?
Good, good.
All right, let's hear
it. I just want to know if some of these pass muster as, I'm just wondering if they're kind of not what you're talking about or whether they are what you're talking about with regards to the affirmation and the tie down, the
pacing statement, tie down from last week.
The pace and the tie down, right.
Okay,
so,
fire away. Let's
so here's one. There is a value at which you feel that would make a good decision, isn't there? There would be a value that would mean it would make a good investment, isn't there? Is that a pace?
It is, and yet it feels a little convoluted. Yes, it's a pace because what you said is true. There is a, I'm going to say price. There is a price at which this house would be a good investment for you. That's true. That's universally true for everybody. Like you guys, any of you could walk in the front door of my house and go, I like it, I don't like it, whatever. Okay, at $50, do you want it? Yes, I mean, there is a price upon which this rental would be an awesome deal for you. True. And then you tied it down, isn't it? So what you said is a pace, and the goal of saying a pace is to give them something short, sweet, and easy to agree with. Right? So... you said you wanted a rental, didn't you? Yes, I did. You told me it had to be a 10 cap or better, right? Right. We've seen 5 already, haven't we? Well, yes, we have. Of the 5, you said this one was best, didn't you? Yes, I did. See how short, easy, smooth, easy to digest, easy to agree? That's the plan.
Okay, so on that note of a pace, we were doing an exercise where you wanted to make sure that we never had the person we're speaking to say no or feel uncomfortable. We want them to feel comfortable. What happens when the thing we're talking about, for instance, I'll give you an example, what happens if they say, you know, well, I've listed with someone else? How do you turn that into something using the pace and,
How do I turn what if they say, hey, Jonathan, really appreciate all your hard work, and sorry, we've already signed a contract with Joel, like that?
Right, yes.
Well, at that point, it's a little late. It's done. They've already signed a contract with Joel. So at that point, you say, well, hey, I really appreciate you giving me a shot at it, and good luck to you. Or, hey, really appreciate you giving me a shot at it, and if you'd be so kind, I'd love to hear, would you be willing to share with me, what was it about Joel that you decided to list with him instead of list with me? Would you be willing to share that with me just for my own growth and see if there's something in there for you to learn? But they said, hey, we already signed with Joel. So what is it that you're hoping to get from that deal? Right, you can't solicit them now. They're already under contract with another broker. You can't solicit. What options do you have? Thanks.
To learn their thinking, to learn their motivation thinking.
Well, at that point, it doesn't do you any good to learn their motivation thinking because they've already signed. It's done. However, what you might learn is you might learn something about yourself. You know, they might say, well, we spoke to him and he showed us some comps that were different than yours. And you were really excited about $600,000, which we thought was optimistic. You were so excited. Hey, I can get you $600,000. And we sat down with Joel and he showed us the comps. God, nothing has sold above $500,000. So it just felt like he was being more honest with us. That's why we chose him. Right? So what did you learn?
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter what their decision criteria is. Maybe you learned that, wow, I was inflating a price. Maybe I showed up this way and it didn't work for them. The goal there is to learn, what did I do wrong? What did I do that didn't work? That's the goal at that stage.
So one last thing then, which is, what do you say when someone says, I'm sorry, we're not interested? So I'll give you an example. I'm making calls. I get leads on people looking for home values and things. And when I call them, they usually deny that they did it. They say they don't know about it, and they say that they're not interested. How do you turn that into something positive?
Well, I'm going to start by believing that it's possible. I don't know. It's possible they're telling the truth. Maybe it is a wrong number. That's possible. So I'm also just going to ask. So I'm going to, first of all, if you're getting a lot of this, hey, no, thank you, not interested, maybe you sound like a telemarketer. Maybe you're not getting in rapport at the hello. Maybe you're doing something that's putting people on the defense before you even get the conversation started. That could be too. Right? So I would just focus on mirroring and matching. Somebody answers the phone, yeah, hello. Say, yeah, hello, I'm looking for Jonathan. Yeah, this is Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, this is Joel at ABC Realty. You put in a request for a home value of 1234 Main Street. I'm happy to do that for you. You got a minute? I'll do that for you right now. Brad, I want to just be connected and see if I can help them. If they said, oh, no, I'm not interested. Oh, bummer. Are you Jonathan Asbell, 555-1212, is that you? Wow, I have a request here. Do I have the wrong number? I don't know. Is that helpful at all?
That's what I'm doing, so I'm good. I wasn't sure if there was any other way to bring this around or to turn it into juice, to turn this some way into juice, but that's just how it goes.
Well, I'm going to say I never know. You know, I never know what's going on. I never know if they're telling me that's true. Hey, I'm not interested. Do I have the wrong number? Did I breach rapport? All I can tell you is if you're getting a lot of that, hey, not interested, hey, not interested, well, no, not interested. If you're getting a lot of that, then the only thing I can do is look at the common denominator, which is me. People don't want to talk to me for some reason. What am I doing? How come nobody wants to talk to me? That's the place to start looking. And obviously the place to go from there would be, you know, looking at your rapport right out of the gate. Jonathan, the best advice I can give you, this is everybody, not just Jonathan, is I highly, highly, highly recommend, this is going to sting a little bit, I highly recommend that all of you figure out how to record your lead gen. Record a few. Record it for a week. Record it for a month. You don't have to share it with me. Just record it. Why? Why would you do that? Because the best athletes in the world record themselves. Tiger Woods records himself. He watches his swing on video and breaks it down and analyzes it. Michael Jordan watches his games in video. Pro athletes watch themselves. Actors, movie stars, they watch themselves. They listen. Oh, wow, see how I did this? Oh, see, this worked? Oh, that didn't work. Right? They study. They analyze. The issue with what we're doing is we're in a conversation where, you know, I think I said the right thing, and that guy was a jerk. Well, I don't know. Listen to the tape. Right? Maybe that guy said three times, hey, man, I'm not interested. I don't have time right now. I got the kids are here, and I got to go to school, and the bus is here, and I got to deal with this, and the coffee's on, and this is not a good time for me. And you say, well, hold on a second, sir. Let me ask you one more question. Right? Maybe like a couple of times he was, you know, those are the kind of things that you might not catch in the heat of lead generation. Yet when you listen to the recording later, you'll hear them. So record.
Hey, Joel.
And evaluate yourself. Yes.
This is Sam, Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi, Sam.
I don't know if this is a value add for everybody, but I bought an app 2 weeks ago called Tape a Call, and you can record yourself. And I'm not saying that you should use that in any legal opportunity, because it is illegal to record and use it somewhere if they don't know about it, but it's been really helpful.
Awesome. Yeah, so did you hear that, everybody? Tape a Call app, and, you know, just for your own... just for your own education. So when I was coaching people one-on-one, I had a whole fleet of one-on-one clients. And I would always have them record themselves. I don't know how to help anybody until I hear what they're doing. I don't know if I've told the story on this group or not, but way back in the day, I got this new coaching client. And I was told that he was the expired master of his town. And they said, well, Joel, you're awesome at expireds, and this guy's, you know, committed to dominating expireds. He's totally focused on expireds. He's the perfect guy for you. Great. So I start coaching this guy, and on call number one, I said, hey, I hear that you're the expireds guru. And he goes, yeah, I'm all about the expired. Great. So how many? He says, yeah, I made, it's been a while, I forgot the number. I made 3,800, 4,600, blah, 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 expired calls in the last 6 months, like some astronomical number. And I said, holy crap, that's huge. Good for you. How many expired listings have you taken from all those calls? And he said, well, none. That's why I asked to be coaching with you. None. Zero out of 4,000. Yeah, none. I don't understand. How can it be zero? What are you saying to these people? And he's like, well, I'm just calling to see if, you know, and talk to them, and everybody's hanging up on me, and I'm not making any progress at all. And I said, well, you got to record those. Send me some of those. Send me a half an hour. Send me an hour, and I'll listen, and then maybe I'll get some insights. And so, sure enough, as directed, this guy recorded his lead gen calls, all expired. And he sent me the tape, and the digital recording. And so what do you think I heard for an hour? I kid you not, no exaggeration, this is exactly that guy's script. The phone rang, and somebody would say, ring, 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 hello. And the guy would say, hi, this is Fred Smith from ABC Realty, and I'm calling about your house at 1234 Main Street. What are you going to do with that thing? We're not selling. Thanks, click. Ring, ring, ring. Yes, hello. Hi, this is Fred Smith from ABC Realty. At your house at 1234 Main Street. What are you going to do with that thing? 4,000 times over 6 months. So the question for all of you, really especially Jonathan, the question is, were all those people being jerks? No, that guy was You know, he was not mirroring and matching. He was not in rapport. He was not asking questions. He was not connected. He was just vomiting out a script. It's the exact reason why I'm anti-script. So, cool. Great question, Sam. Thank you for the plug. Anybody else? Questions, comments, ahas, breakthroughs from last week, anything that you got out of playing the rapport game, anything at all before we jump into new stuff?
This is Sam again. I'll throw something in there that surprised me.
Sure.
Is while I have a long way to go in all of this, and I love it, totally love it, the tie downs, practicing that, I was paying attention that I actually do it more naturally already, and now I see where there's opportunity to do it more and more effectively. So for any encouragement to anybody out there that feels like, oh, this is really hard, like coming from genuine contribution curiosity, I'm naturally like that. And so it was like all of this coaching is like, oh my gosh, I have so much to grow in and so much to learn. But that was a little highlight, like, oh,
nice.
It's not that, that part's not as difficult because I do want to make sure that we're connecting along the way in the conversation, right? And like,
well,
right,
I think you hit the nail on the head, though. You just said, well, I'm naturally curious. I don't think there's any better quality for a salesperson than to be naturally curious. So, I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Right.
Right, just like that.
Exactly. So that was encouraging and refreshing.
Awesome. I love the attitude and the enthusiasm, Sam. That's going to take you a long way in this study.
Thank you.
Cool. Anybody else? So I want to do a quick refresh on the rapport theme for last week because I was in a weird environment. My headset broke down and blah, blah, blah. I don't think I covered this very well, but it's a really powerful exercise that I want to make sure that we all do and take on. So where's my notes? So in the realm of rapport, there's an exercise I want to take you all on. Have I had you guys do the rapport speed matching and then speed opposite breaking? I don't think we've done that. We were supposed to do that last week, and I dropped it. So I'm going to give you a little advanced exercise in the rapport game. So remember that people speak the way they speak. Little ladies speak like this. And young millennials that are full of caffeine, they speak like this. Holy smokes, this is going to be awesome. Right? So everybody speaks the way they speak. So just for an exercise, we're going to take on and study a little bit rate of speech, how fast or slow people speak. So as an exercise for this week, here's the rapport game for this week. Keep doing all the other stuff you've been doing as well. As an exercise for this week, pay extra close attention to the speed, the rate at which people are speaking, and match their rate. So if they speak really slowly and you're a high D, this is going to be a bit of a struggle for you. So slow way down and speak their speed and match their rate. Right, just as an exercise. And if they speak really quickly, then speak really quickly with them. Right, get in rapport. And if they want to talk like this, great, let's talk like this. So this week, really, really pay attention to how fast do they speak, maybe how much caffeine they've had. And if they speak really quickly, you speak really quickly with them. All right. If you're high D and slowing down is tough for you, tough because it's much easier for a fast-talking person to slow down than it is for like a high C to speed up. So your homework this week is to match their speed. Everybody, your kids, your spouse, your clients, everybody match their speed. All right, here's the bonus round. Now, this comes with a few caveats. First of all, any questions about that? Match their speed. Easy. Good. Here's the bonus round. Please write this down because you're going to forget. So please write this down. The bonus exercise for the rapport game this week only comes with a few caveats. and here they are. Caveats are, for the bonus round, this only works on a stranger. So find a stranger. Not a friend, not a family member, definitely not a client. Stranger. And this bonus exercise only lasts for 10 to 20 seconds. That's it. 10 or 20 seconds. That's it. And the bonus exercise is you're going to do the opposite speed to one stranger for 10 or 20 seconds. Just why would I have you do that? This is a rapport breaking exercise. Why would I have you intentionally break rapport? Because when you break rapport, it feels uncomfortable. You will feel it. And my request for you is to find out exactly what you feel. Do you feel a shortness of breath? Do you feel tightness in your stomach? Do you feel upset stomach? Do you feel sweaty palms? Do you feel dry mouth? Do you feel like overall nervous and anxiety? What do you feel? Because the sooner you can identify what it feels like to be out of rapport, the faster you'll be able to fix it. So the bonus exercise this week is do the opposite speed with one stranger. Not every day, not every, but just one. Just at some point this week, you're going to find somebody who speaks quite a bit slower than you, or maybe quite a bit faster than you, either one. And then do the opposite with that person for 10 or 20 seconds. It will feel very uncomfortable. And then when they start looking at you like you're an escaped mental patient, fix it. Get back in rapport. So, for example, I like to use the coffee shops, right, because it's an obvious place where people are speaking really quickly. They're all hyped up on these big buckets of sugar and caffeine. So you go to the coffee shop, and there's people all pounding down their caffeine. You're waiting in line for your bucket of sugar and caffeine. And, before you get to the cash register, the barista leans over the counter, and they go, yeah, you in the blue shirt, what can I get started for you? Right? They're trying to stay ahead of the cash register. And then just for fun, I say, I think I'll have a, what's a venti? What is a venti? Right, slow way down. Right, and they're going to be frustrated. They're going to look at you like you're, a mental patient, whatever. And then as soon as you feel what happens to you and feel what happens to them, there it is, I feel uncomfortable, then fix it. Oh, sorry, give me a dry cappuccino. Thanks. Dry venti cappuccino. Breve, thanks. Quick, fix it. And what you'll find, well, I'm not going to tell you what you'll find. You'll find what you'll find. Come next week and share with us what you got from that exercise. All right, everybody super clear about the rapport exercise. Mirror and match, 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 match rate of speech with everybody. And then just once to a stranger for 10 or 15 seconds, period, do the opposite until it feels uncomfortable. Then clean it up. Go back to matching. Okay. Any questions, any comments, any aha, anything about any of that?
Yeah, Joel, this is Rick Dumont, Roseville office.
Hello, Rick Dumont. Hey, man.
I just have noticed if you're like driving down the freeway and somebody is in front of you going too slow, you always think they're stupid, but somebody driving really fast past you, they're maniacs.
Yeah.
So it's like the rapport of the road works in speech.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is a beautiful example of bias, right? My way is the right way, and this idiot's going way too slow. What are you doing in the left lane? Get out of here, you crazy person. Then the person that's trying to pass you, you're like, you lunatic, what's wrong with you? Right? Everybody who's not doing it your way is wrong. That's called bias.
Yep.
Right? And that's the same thing here. So that's a nice aha. On a really deep subconscious level here, this is the game that we're playing. So if you run into somebody who speaks more quickly than you, naturally, right? They grew up in a family in New York, and they speak really, really quickly because that's what they do in New York. They drink lots of coffee. They talk fast. They move quick. It's New York. It's the East Coast. Hey, that's how it is. Come on, get in the car. Let's go. That's normal for them. And so we don't know that we carry these biases. So they don't think that they speak fast. They think they speak normal. They think you speak slow. So knowing that we're all biased, knowing that we do this to each other, let's bypass the... Nice aha, Rick.
Thanks.
Yeah, really good aha. Great, perfect example of bias. All right. Why don't we do a little assumption for today? So one of the structures of communication, one of the structures of sales really is assumption. You've all heard the quote that great salespeople assume the sale. What does that mean? It means we're going to act as if the sale is going to happen before I know it's going to happen. This is huge. The right assumption will change the nature of your listing appointment. Most of us go into the listing appointment, Mr. Seller, Mrs. Seller, let me show you why I'm worthy. Let me show you what I've done. Would you like to work with me? What do you think? What do you think? You going to give me a shot? No assumption. What would a lot of assumption be? Mr. and Mrs. Seller, hi, thanks for having me over. I'm looking forward to getting your home sold and getting you guys moved to Idaho. Can we take a quick look around? Okay, great. What issues does the house have that we need to be aware of? Okay, good. So before we sign the contract, let's take a look at the comparables. Let's see what's selling and what's not selling. Let's get a firm grip on what the market's going to pay for the house. Should we do that first? Great. Let's sit right here. What, all kinds of assumption. What, the second one, I'm assuming that I'm taking that listing. I'm just walking in saying, here's what we're going to do to get you sold. The first one, there's no assumption. I'm acting like it's a job interview, and I hope they pick me. So the structure of assumption makes a massive, massive difference. So there's a little quote in your handout, and there's one spelling mistake, one word change I'm going to make for you. It says, under assumption, it says reality. What is reality? What we think is not reality. What we think is an accumulation of our beliefs and attitudes about what reality really is. When we change our thoughts and beliefs, our reality changes. So here's the change. The next line should say, there is no objective truth, not subjective. There is no objective truth. There's over 7 billion people in the world, 7.4 billion different realities. That means everybody sees the truth through their own bias. Like Rick's example, is this the right speed to be driving down the highway? Well, I think so. It's the speed I'm driving. Of course, I think it's the right speed. It's the speed I've chosen. All these other people are driving the wrong speed. I'm driving the right speed. So which is true? Right? They're all biased. There's no subjective. It's all objective. All right, another example for assumption. Listen to this. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the home, don't you? One more time. You definitely want me to get you the most money possible for your home, don't you? Okay, what's being assumed in that? Well, lots of things are being assumed. Well, like what? Well, I'm assuming that they want the most money possible for the home. Right, that's an assumption. What else? I'm assuming that they want me to get it for them. What else? I'm assuming they definitely want me to get it for them. What else is being assumed? That their profit is more important than their timing. What else is being assumed? That they want their house sold. What else is being assumed? That they have a house. What else is being assumed? The simple fact that I keep saying they implies that I'm speaking about more than one person. Right? There's a ton of assumption in there. So there's four basic structures of assumption, and they are presuppositions. So the linguistic structure of assumption is a presupposition. There are four presuppositions that can be used to create an assumption, and they are an adverb. They're adverb, automatic awareness, and temporal. Hang on, I'm going to back up one. I want to read that sentence I just skipped. An experience, this is key, an experience can have multiple perspectives, right? I think my freeway speed's right. They think their freeway speed's right. Who's right? Who's wrong? Right? We're both right. Whatever. Multiple perspectives. Assumption itself is an act of creation. So when we assume, well, of course, before we sign the contract, let's look at the comparables. I'm assuming that we're signing the contract. That is an act of creation. I'm creating a new outcome. And by using this kind of language, we're literally creating a new reality. So marinate a bit in the question of what realities would you like to create for yourself or and or for others. All right, so presupposition has four parts: adverb, automatic awareness, and temporal. Now, very briefly, an adverb describes the verb. So you definitely want me to get you the most money possible for the house. Definitely is an adverb. So look at this, scroll down 3 or 4 inches. The adverb presupposition assumes that something's already true. The verb is a state of being or action. So adverbs are things like luckily, fortunately, happily, obviously, naturally, definitely, easily. These are the easiest ones. You sweep them in wherever in front of anything that's already happening. Naturally, you want to get the home listed right away so we can get you to Hawaii. Well, naturally, sure I do. All right, this is a very easy, smooth one. Naturally, you want to hire an agent that you can trust, right? Well, yes, yes, I do. Oh, my gosh, look at this house. You know, fortunately, you already know. You need to be pre-approved to show the seller that you can buy the property before they're going to take the property off the market for you. Don't you? You know that, right? Happily, when we list your house tonight, you'll be one step closer to your grandkids. Won't that be great? See how smooth those are? Really easy little baby steps. Right? Adverb. I'm just sweeping in an adverb. Why? Because it qualifies the verb in a direction. In which direction? Whatever direction I think is most helpful to my client. Right? If my client is frustrated, I'm going to say, well, unfortunately, you know, here's what we have to do to deal with that. Oh, my gosh, somebody broke into the house. Oh, my gosh. Well, fortunately, I want to cheer them up. Fortunately, the homeowner's insurance policy is still in place. Right? I want to set the tone for what I think is best for them and moving them forward. Okay, we have four to cover. I'm going to go kind of quick. Any questions about adverb? That's the easiest one. Here's the key. It's right above the word example. Decide what state of being is most helpful and presuppose that state for your client. Right? If there's good news, fortunately, and then deliver the news. Fortunately, we have an awesome offer on the house. Right? When the seller says, I'm not taking a nickel less than full price. You go, fortunately, we have an amazing offer on the house. It's a flexible date. They're putting a bunch of money down. 98% of full price. Fortunately, they said they'll let you stay in it for a month after you close. Right? I want to paint the positives. All right, the next one. The next presupposition is an automatic presupposition. Now, what kind of things, first of all, let's talk about automatic. Automatic means that it happens without your cognitive knowledge or input. My favorite example is your car, most likely, is an automatic transmission. That means that you stick it in D for drive and the car shifts gears. Most of the time, you don't know when it shifts up or down or what gear it's in. It just shifts into the right gear at the right time automatically. You don't have to know. You don't have to understand. You don't have to count. You don't have to track. It's automatic. It just happens. Gravity just happens. You don't have to know. You don't have to get it. It's just there. It's automatic. Nothing you can do about it. considering the nature of the structure of the agreement of, quote, automatic, what kind of things would you like to presuppose are going to happen automatically, involuntarily, instinctively, constantly, spontaneously, even without thinking? What kind of things would you like to have happen? Well, I don't know. I think I'd like my clients to automatically request a price reduction if we don't get a sale in 3 weeks or an acceptable offer in 3 weeks. I'd like them to spontaneously drop my name and number whenever they hear somebody talking about real estate. Right? I want them to, even without thinking about it, keep the house clean, keep the litter box emptied. In fact, put the litter box in the garage. So not just do I want them to do those things, I want them to do them automatically. These are the things that I'm intending are going to happen. So a few questions, a few examples. Even without thinking about it, right, automatic, even without thinking about it, you already know that we must list your home at a price that will attract buyers. We want a lot of buyers to come see it, right? Well, yes, I do. I do want a lot of buyers to come see it. So when the client says, yes, I do, what are they saying yes to? That they want a lot of buyers to come see it, that they know they have to list the home, they know they have to list the home at a price that will attract buyers, and even without thinking about it, they know this. They just said yes to all of that. Do you think that having these kind of pre-framed conversations are going to help you get contracts signed, are going to help you strike win-win agreements with very little resistance and very few objections? This is the key. Next example says, it should be like second nature for you to do the math and compare how much you're paying your current broker to the cap at KW Realty. What am I presupposing? That you should do the math and compare this number to that number. Not only should you do that, it should be like second nature for you to do the math. I know as a realtor you can do more than multiply things by 0.03. I know we can do basic math. So compare this number to that. It should be second nature for you to compare this number to that number. See if you're getting a good deal or not. All right, a couple more really quick. Almost magically, you'll see as your grades go up, so will your opportunities. Almost magically, you'll see that relationship. Most people instinctively know that only by promoting individual rights will we ever be able to create a peaceful world for future generations. That's what you want for your kids, right? Yeah, I want a peaceful world for my kids. Great, what do they just say yes to? That they instinctively know that individual rights are going to create peace in the world. This last example is self-talk. Me talking to myself, you talking to yourself. Every time you, or me talking to you maybe, every time you complete your daily lead gen, or self, every time I complete my daily lead gen, I'll automatically feel good knowing my goals are in the process of coming true. Notice the presupposition. I'm not only presupposing, I'm presupposing that these things are going to happen. I'm presupposing these things are going to happen automatically. Okay? Notice these are, the first one was super simple. That one was a little bit bigger. Now we have two big ones. Any questions, comments, anything before the next one? All right. The next presupposition is the awareness presupposition. Awareness. So what does that mean, awareness? Well, it means what are you aware of? So let's do a little exercise. I really like this one. So assuming that you're not driving your car, which you shouldn't be, take a moment right now and look around your office. And notice, become aware of everything in your office that is red in color. And since a huge percentage of you are KW agents, there should be lots of red stuff in your office. We're getting I'm getting a big influx of REMAX agents. They have a lot of red stuff in their offices too. So look around. All right, look around and see. Let's just look. That's red. That's red. That's red. That's red. That's not really red. That's red. All right, just note the red things. Okay, perfect. Now close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now, with your eyes closed, from memory, do your very best to recall everything in your office that is blue. Keep your eyes closed. How many blue things can you recall? All right, feel free, open your eyes. Look around, plenty of blue stuff in there. So what just happened? That blue stuff was there all along, you just weren't aware of it. Why? Because I directed your awareness to the red things. And by asking you to look at the red things, I had you focus on the red things, which put the red things at the top of your list. You were the most aware of the red things because of my request. You were most aware of the red things. They were at the top of your awareness list. Now, the blue things were there all along. I could have done it backwards. I could have had you look at blue things and said, close your eyes. Okay, how many red things can you remember? Blue things would have been at the top of your list. The point here is both the red things and the blue things were there all along. What's different? Well, I directed your awareness at one, and then I directed your awareness at a different one. This is the nature of awareness presuppositions. So by shifting what you're aware of, I'm literally shifting what you're focused on. And remember, what somebody is aware of is really their current reality in the moment. If you're focused totally on the red things, then your reality is red things because that's what's dominating your mind space. So awareness presuppositions are things like begin or beginning, notice or noticing, or beginning to notice, or realize and realizing, or sense and sensing, start or starting, or starting to realize, beginning to understand, understanding, starting to understand, whatever. Any combination thereof. Okay, a few examples of these in motion. Example number one says, clearly you are starting to realize that we need to reduce the price to get the home sold. You still want to move closer to your grandchildren, right? Notice I ended that with a pace tie down. You want to move closer to your grandchildren, right? Pace tie down. So what did I just do? Clearly you're starting to realize. Now, where would be a good place to say this? Let's say, let me set it up just for fun. Let's say you've been on the market 6 weeks, no offers, showings are starting to slow down, still raining like crazy. Seems like we're getting pretty stagnant, and the client calls and goes, hey, what's going on? It's been 6 weeks. This isn't happening. That's not happening. What's going on? We're not, the showings have slowed down. What are you doing over there? What kind of ads are you doing this week? Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I totally feel your frustration. Clearly, you're starting to realize that it's time to reduce the price in order to get the home sold. You still want to move closer to your grandchildren, right? What do we just do? Their focus was no results. Hey, I'm not getting my results. What are you doing? Where's my results? So we just used an awareness presupposition to say, well, clearly you're beginning to realize the buyers said no. And now it's time to reduce the price. You still want to move, right? Well, yes. Yes, I do. Next one says, are you beginning to believe what I say when I tell you this is the right offer for you? Yeah, I guess that offer is pretty awesome. So what do you think? Are you starting to understand that the more you actually do your home play exercises for this course, the easier it is to close a bunch of sales? If I've said it once, I've said it a gajillion times. You know, there's no magic script in the workbooks. These are just examples. And the thing is, these examples aren't going to work when and where you need them to work. What is going to work is you. You're going to develop some habits, and you're going to start speaking in terms of assumption and suggestion and tie-down and agreement. And then you're just going to talk to people, and they're going to say, great, where do I sign? No scripts. Authentic conversations is the key. Okay, any question about awareness presupposition? Just what are they aware of? And then how can I steer their awareness to something that's positive? Consider most people, well, let me just ask this as a question. Do most people that you know, are they positive minded, or do most people, a lot of people focus on negative things? How they focus on negative things constantly. Human nature, whatever you call it, lots of people are focused on negative things. What if you could shift that for those people? Oh, my God, the politics, the president, he's like Hitler. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to our country? Yeah, I feel your frustration. And are you starting to realize that the people are waking up? Look at how many people are now following and paying attention to politics that never were. This is what it takes to have a revolution. People need to figure out, like, people need to stand up and have a voice. Are you beginning to realize what we're experiencing is a new awakening in people, right? We're no longer trusting the government. Like, we want things to work out for the better. I don't care what color tie the president is wearing. It's a red tie or a blue tie. I don't care. I want civil rights, whatever it is. So how do you do that when people are focused on something that isn't helping them? Then shift their awareness to something that is helping them. Naturally, you're starting to understand. And then whatever it is that you want them to understand, and they'll just absorb it. All right, so we have one more to go. The last one is the most challenging one of all. So, super short break. Questions, comments, feedback, anything at all. Oh my God, I'm lost. This is way too fast. This is way too slow. Anything. Okay, so the last presupposition is the oddball. That's why it's last. The first three, adverb, automatic, awareness, the three A's, adverb, automatic, awareness, the three A's, they're all pretty similar. They're presupposing that something is happening. I'm presupposing that you are going to do your home play exercises for this work. I'm presupposing that you're all going to do that rapport game this week. Mirror and match everybody's rate of speech, and then find one stranger for 10 or 15 seconds and do the opposite. I'm presupposing that you're going to do that. How? I say things like, when you do this exercise, pay attention to this. When you do that exercise, make sure that you try it like that. Right? I'm presupposing you're going to do that exercise. Temporal's a little different. The temporal presupposition makes an assumption based on the timing of an event. Temporal, le temp, le temps, temporary. So temporal presuppositions are presupposing that something either happened in the past, is happening now, or is going to happen in the future. Notice they're all some version of before, during, or after. Past, present, future. Now, what's different about the temporal is the temporal presupposition is going to assume something exists before there's an agreement that it exists. The goal here is to create an agreement. So, for example, let me give you a contrast. The previous example, the customer says, hey, it's been 6 weeks and the house didn't sell. What are you doing over there? And we say, clearly, you're starting to realize it's time for us to reduce the price and get the home sold, right? You still need to move, don't you? So there's something to attach to. The client says, hey, I'm upset. I'm not getting my results. There's an upset. And we're saying, well, clearly that means that you're beginning to realize that it's not working and it's time for us to change. So those things are connected. In the temporal, there's no connection. I'm just from left field. I'm going to presuppose something where there's no agreement for the existence of that something. So that means, like, I would say, when you sign up for the Truth About Sales workshop a third time, now, you've not said that you're going to sign up a third time, a second time, a third time. You didn't make that commitment. I'm presupposing something that didn't exist. So because you've learned so much great stuff in this course, when you put a glowing testimonial and a shameless plug on Facebook about this course, you know, please be sure to get the most recent one so it's got the next sign-up date for the people that you love. Now, I have no agreement that you're going to do that. The temporal presupposition is presupposing and assuming an agreement that did not exist. Let me give you another example. We right now are on week 5. Obviously, our next call is week 6. And let me look at my calendar. So let's see what today is. I think today's the ninth. My calendar just shut down. All right. So 1 week from today, next Thursday, whatever day that is, 9 and 7, 16th, I guess. So on call number 6, when you call in for call number 6, we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. Now, I already know that you've already paid for call number 6. You've already signed up. I already have your money. I assume you're coming. So that's not really an assumption. Why? Because call 6 is already scheduled. It's already in the books. It's on my calendar. It's on your calendar. The workbook's written. The schedule's done. We're in sync. We're in schedule. You're coming. So when I say when you come to call number 6, I'm using when. It's on the list, but there's no assumption. There's no assumption because we're already scheduled. When I say when you tell all your friends about this course, that's an assumption. I have no agreement that you're going to tell anybody about this course. So how this works really powerfully. Let's say, for example, somebody says, hey, Joel, you sold the house for my friend, and he said you're awesome, and you know, we need to buy some property, and you know, he said we should give you a shot. Great. So I'm going to just make a huge assumption right out of the gate. I might say, great. So when you come to my office, please bring a copy of your pre-qual letter and your wish list, and we'll get that process started right away. We'll find you something great. So notice we didn't have an appointment to come to my office. I'm using a temporal presupposition to assume something in place. Now, if you have a standing listing appointment, let's say you have a listing appointment tonight at 4 o'clock, and you're calling to pre-qual, you're calling to confirm the appointment. And the seller says, hello, yes. And you say, hi, this is Sam Nealon from L.A. I'm just calling to confirm we have a thing tonight, a meeting tonight at 4 o'clock. And the seller says, yep, that sounds awesome. We'll be here. Great. When I come over tonight, we're going to talk about XYZ. Do you have any special questions for me that I should be prepared for? Right? There's no assumption. When I come over tonight is already on the schedule. When is it assumption? Somebody says, hey, Sam, you sold my neighbor's house, and we're thinking, you know, maybe we should be looking at selling too. And you say, great. When I come over and look at the property and check it out and evaluate it to the recent sales, we'll come up with a price that'll be good for you. Notice you just sort of invited yourself over, right? When I come over. All right, so this is the key with temporal. Temporal is assuming something that didn't exist before you said it. So one of the things that, a couple of the examples that I like, new buyer, you know, look, we want to go look at some houses, and I go, great. Once you sign the buyer brokerage agreement, we can start looking for your new house right away. Go ahead, sign here. Notice I'm not saying, okay, there's a thing called the buyer brokerage agreement. There's procuring cause law in California. This is the way it works. This is how this, let me tell you, none of that stuff. None of that. If they ask, sure. Only if they ask. Let's say you're walking through showing houses and they go, oh, look at the kitchen. Oh my gosh, this is the kitchen. I might say, since you love this home, let's make an offer now before somebody else does. Now, they didn't say they loved it. They just said, wow, look at the kitchen. I'm assuming that that means they love it enough to make an offer. And so I'm also assuming that now that you're in this course, now that you're training with me, good or bad, you're now subject to my influence because you're paying to listen to me blab on every week and hopefully teach you some stuff. So I'm going to make the assumption, too, that now that you're committed to make a difference in the world, I highly recommend that you read a book called Liberty Defined. Honestly, I think if every American read that book, our political dialogues would totally transform. We would no longer be arguing the same crap we're arguing. We would have a whole new understanding of how politics work. So please, please read that book. It's brilliant. All right, so those are the structures. Naturally, blah, 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 adverb. Even without thinking about it, you realize it's time to reduce the price. Automatic. You're starting to realize it's now, oh my God, it's been 6 weeks, the house isn't selling, what are we going to do? Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you're now starting to realize it's now safe for us to reduce the price without leaving any equity on the table. Let's do that, right? That's awareness, starting to realize. And then the last one is temporal. Make a huge leap. Assume something that didn't exist. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you're at the closing table. They're selling their big mansion to retire. Mr. and Mrs. Seller, now that you have all this cash, now let's go look for some income property for you and put that money to work for you, whatever. Since you're going to be reinvesting some of this money with me anyways, let's go look at some investment real estate, shall we? All right, questions, comments, ahas, whatever. We just got a couple of minutes left. I know that was a little tour de force through assumption structure.
Okay, I have a question. This is Sam again.
Please.
Okay. I'm trying to think of how to frame this. So, and maybe I'm just kind of neophyte and getting caught up on dumb details. But in the
whatever.
Mirror and match concept and building rapport and all of that, and I believe you and I trust you and I am going to get there. It's just I've got to get there. Some of these, especially like in the temporal and maybe even in the awareness, it just sounds like, it could sound, I should say, like I'm super disconnected. Like I'm,
for example?
Like the one you just gave, mansion seller, when you have all this cash, assuming I don't know what their net sheet looks like and what their payoff is and whatever, I'm just making that huge leap because I have all this cash because I want to, you know, lead the conversation somewhere. If I'm the seller, I'm thinking to myself, you didn't ask me that. Like, okay, so you're just making stuff up.
Maybe that was an example not for the closing table, right? So maybe that's at the kitchen table.
Okay.
Right, so at the kitchen table, all right, it looks like your house is worth about $1.5 million. What do you owe on the property? $250,000. Wow, good for you. You're going to walk away with this with a check with $1 million. What are you going to do with all that money? Well, we're going to retire and invest it well, and you know we're going to retire and get out of this big city. Awesome. So now that you're a real estate investor,
that makes sense.
Can
that
I
makes more
show
sense.
You a few, right? Something like that. Can I show you how to turn some of that money into a massive cash machine secured by real estate? So what did I just assume? Now that you're a real estate investor, what do you mean a real estate investor? Well, you just made $1 million on this deal.
Right. Like, that one makes more sense. Or even, like, the buyer-broker agreement. Like, once you sign the agreement, then blah, blah, blah. Like, that all makes sense because the client really does want you to lead them, whether they know it or not. I was just
Correct.
Kind of looking at some of these going, it could feel like I'm the disconnected agent because I'm making leaps that the client never filled in the gap for. So I that
so the difficult, the most difficult part about, for me, the most difficult part about teaching this week, about teaching assumption, is they're totally need context.
Yeah.
And so I'm just making stuff up because they're not in context. And my request for you is that you simply practice. So
Got
practice
it.
for me means just write sentences. So write some sentences of each of these in category, and just the goal is not for you to follow any of my examples, because my examples suck, right? My examples are totally out of context. They're just some crap I made up. Who cares? What matters is that you practice and do these exercises so you become a ninja. So when somebody says, hey, what about this? You say, well, naturally, you're beginning to realize that it's, right? And you just host a conversation organically, yet using this structure, and assume whatever you assume that's appropriate at the time, and don't get lost in the context of the examples.
Okay.
Because they're all
Thank
out
you.
Of context. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that helps me, and that makes a ton of sense. One last question. I know we're over time.
Sure.
I want to confirm that we're having a call next week.
We are. We
okay,
are having a call
you
next
know,
week.
So you know I'm super
the reason,
committed
hang
to this
on, the reason she's asking that is because a huge percentage of my clientele base is Keller Williams. Keller Williams having a giant event next week. But not everybody in here is Keller Williams. And
right.
If you have to miss, sadly, the call is recorded. So I'm
yeah.
kind of playing to the larger audience.
Okay. I just want you to know I'm super committed and I won't be on the call, and it saddens my soul, just so you know.
Oh, that's very sweet of you. And you'll get the recording will be available shortly thereafter. And I hope you get something awesome out of your experience next week.
Thank you. Thanks, Joel.
Cool. Yep. All right, everybody. We are top of the hour that we are. So thanks for being here. Next week, just a little foreshadowing for next week. Next week we start suggestion, literally hypnotic suggestion. How do you deliver a suggestion directly into the subconscious of your client such that they think it's their idea? Oh, I think we should reduce the price. That's a great idea. Yeah, you know what, honey? I think we should sign this contract. How do we introduce a suggestion such that the client takes it as their own thought? That's next week. So that's it. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Have an awesome week, and you guys rock. See you next time.
Thanks, Joel.